Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee this evening for the words of that wonderful hymn. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done, so loved He the world, that He gave us His Son, the vilest offender, who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Father, this evening we do thank Thee afresh for the cross of Calvary. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we would ask that Thou wilt indeed cover us with Thy precious blood. Grant, O God, that the voice of man would not be heard, but the voice of Thy blessed Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that ears would be open and hearts would indeed be receptive to all that Thy Holy Spirit would say this evening. For we ask it in and through Thy precious name. Amen. This evening, for a few moments, we want to think about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I must be honest, it's a subject that I feel very comfortable with, because over the years there have been many sermons preached on it. Over the years there has been many prophecies related to it. And over the years there has been many speculations with regards to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that I feel comfortable about it is that there's nobody knows when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. But all preachers would agree that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And we're reading our scripture reading from Matthew chapter 24. And we broke in at verse 36. And the verses prior to that portion of scripture were dealing with different verses with regards to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5 we see that there would be many false Christs arise. In verse 6 we would read of wars and rumours of wars. In verse 11, false prophets. And if we were to stop there and to think about it, there have been many men down through the years who have proclaimed and professed that they are the Saviour of the world. If we stop and if we think about it throughout the length and breadth of our world today, there are wars and there are rumours of wars. We can think of verse 11, false prophets. There has been many of them about the length and breadth of our world. And if we think about the situation of our world, there is unrest. There are tragedies here, there and yonder. We only have to think about yesterday. If we think of our young people, many of them are bound and fettered with drugs. If we think of other older people, many are bound and fettered by sin. And I suppose this evening, if we were to look at the picture, it is all dark and it's all bleak, and we would ask ourselves the question, and we could ask ourselves the question, when will it all end? When will it all end? We don't know. But there's one thing that we do know. End it will. Because our text this evening is verse 44. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Be prepared. For the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And I wonder, do you believe that? I wonder, have you reservations about the coming of the Lord? Well, if you have reservations, you're no different from people in the early years of the early church, because in 2 Peter verses 4 of chapter 3 we read, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Where is it? We have been listening to proclamations that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Where is His return? Where is it? There are many today have asked that question. There are many today have thrown out many a statement with regards to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe it. It's just a fairy tale. It's just a figment of the imagination. But is it? In Acts chapter 1 verse 11 we read that His coming is going to be sudden, it's going to be unexpected, and it's going to be definite. Oh, to you and to me, the Lord Jesus Christ's return may indeed seem delayed, but come He shall. The Lord Jesus Christ shall return. The Lord Jesus Christ will come again. There's three things that I want to leave with you this evening with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. First of all, and we've already touched on it, His coming will indeed be on an inevitable day. He's coming. No one will stop Him. When God commands His Son to go, His Son shall go. When God commands His Son to return, His Son shall return. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27a. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father. Matthew chapter 25 verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in the glory. John chapter 14 verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I will come again. I will come again. And in John chapter 21, verse 22, it's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter. Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, I know thou knowest I love thee. And after the Lord Jesus Christ had challenged Peter with regards to his love to him, Peter looked up and he saw John coming. And he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what of this man? The Lord turned round to Peter and said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Till I come. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ was reiterating. The Lord Jesus Christ was re-emphasizing that He will come again. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. Two men stood by Him in white apparel while He was being ascending up into heaven. And this is what was said. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. Paul. St. Paul said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. James, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. James, verse 5. He is coming again. Jude says, behold, the Lord cometh. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned by Paul 50 times. Would you disagree with Scripture this evening? Would you challenge the authority of Holy Writ with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ coming? Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. It's an inevitable day. Come He will. But not only is it an inevitable day, the Lord Jesus Christ coming, it's an inseparable day. It's an inescapable day. Inescapable. Be ye also ready. Let me change that for you. I know that there are many throughout the length and breadth of the land who have indeed embraced many translations of Scripture. I'm of the old school and I prefer the old translation. I prefer the King James. But in an essence, be ye also ready. The meaning of that text is, be ready. Be ready. For no one shall escape. And before we go any further, can I ask you this evening to ask yourselves a question? Am I ready? Am I prepared? You need to be. For no one shall escape. No one can hide from God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it'll be too late. Be ready. How can you get ready? How can you get prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, I believe that you need to acknowledge your need of God. You need to acknowledge where you are before God. Oh, you might walk about the village, you might walk about the up and down the length of the road, and your neighbour might see, well, there's John, and he's an upright, good-loving fellow. There's Mabel, she's a very good, upright, righteous young girl. But as God looks upon John, and as God looks upon Mary, he sees men and women who are sinners. Destined for hell. Not prepared. What you need to do is to get on your knees and acknowledge before God that you are a sinner. And ask God to save you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that you can get on your knees and you can say to God that you're a sinner. And you'll get up off your knees just the same way as you got down on them. But if you genuinely, sincerely seek after God and ask Him to reveal Himself to you, He will. And when God comes, and when the Spirit of God comes and convicts you of your sin, because that is what's required, that is what's needed for any individual to get right with God, a conviction of your sin. A realization of your lostness. An acknowledgement of your hopelessness. To realize that as an individual, that God is the only person who can deal with your sin. And when you seek after God, and when God reveals Himself to you, and when the Spirit of God comes and convicts you of your sin, and you cry to God for mercy, and you repent of your sin. When you say farewell to the life that you've been living, and you turn and you head in the opposite direction, and you embrace the cross of Calvary, and you embrace the Christ of Calvary, and you seek to serve Him, then you're saved. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you're not prepared, there will be no escape. As it was in the days of Noah, marriage and giving in marriage, sinning, abounding sin. God came in Noah's day in judgment. the Lord Jesus Christ shall return again, and we read that two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinded, one taken, the other left. And I wonder this evening, will you ponder that picture? Two walking down the road, and as the Lord Jesus Christ returns, one a Christian, the other not. One will be taken, the other left. What a disastrous day. What a day of destruction. Christians and their cars driving along the road, taken. Pilots in their planes up above, the Christ returns, the Christian pilot taken. Will you be ready? Or will you be left? As a family, should the Lord Jesus Christ return tonight, should the Lord Jesus Christ return tomorrow, should the Lord Jesus Christ return before the end of this service, will you be taken? Or will you be left? And we would do well to remember that there are no age barriers with regards to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a young person is saved, they'll be taken. If a young person is unsaved, they'll be left. If an old man is saved, he'll be taken. If an old man is unsaved, he'll be left. It'll be a separation line. A separation day. And I must be honest, I'm glad I'm ready. Oh, I am glad that I heard the message of the gospel faithfully proclaimed. I'm glad that I bowed the knee and I surrendered the heart and I surrendered my life to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit, and that I was born of God. Because for me, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and for many of God's people, for all of God's people, it's a day that we're longing for. Oh, and we wouldn't be selfish. And we can't be selfish. How often I have talked to different Christians, men and women who have said that they would love the Lord Jesus Christ to return, but they have loved ones outside the fold. We long for the Saviour's coming, but we long that everyone sitting under the sound of the Word of God this evening would know what it is to be inside the fold, to be redeemed. And are you ready? Are you willing to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ's return, it's an inevitable day, it's an inescapable day, and finally, it's an inspiring day. An inspiring day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The child of God has no fear of his coming. The child of God has no fear of his coming. The child of God child of God while marching along this pilgrim pathway, with all its thorns strewn along the way, and with all its rocks, with all its obstacles, with all its problems, the child of God knows that God is in control. There's a well-known hymn. It was written by C.H. Spafford. He received a telegram one day. The words of the telegram were these: saved alone. His wife and daughters were sailing across the Atlantic. The ship that they were in had a terrible tragedy, struck a rock of some sort and began to sink. And as that ship went down, C.H. Spafford's wife and daughter were out of the ship, and as C.H. Spafford's wife was in the water, she was grabbed and she was pulled into one of the lifeboats, but the daughters went down. What a tragedy. Would have caused many a man to turn their back upon God. Would have caused many an individual to lift their fist and to shake it at God. C.H. Spafford sat down and he penned these words: but Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait the sky, not the grave is our goal. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. And I wonder, child of God, this evening, have you got that assurance? I wonder, child of God, this evening, have you got that peace? Have you that confidence that God is in control? That's the inspiration of the child of God. That he's coming. That someday we shall see him. Oh, and I know this evening that we're dealing with the second coming of Christ. But let's reverse a little. And let's deal with this everyday living. If death were to come, are you prepared for it? If death were to visit, would you embrace it? Or would you fear it? The Reverend John Finlay, he's a minister in Harryville Presbyterian Church over in Ulster. He was my minister for a number of years in the village that I come from. He had a sister who lived in Bandon, County Cork, down at the very south of the border. Now, that woman was about 36 years of age. And God works mysterious ways, and sometimes it's hard to understand, and sometimes it's hard to fathom God's ways. She had three of a family when she was suddenly stricken down with cancer. And there was no hope. And as that girl, Christine Ross, her name, was lying in her bed, her father and her mother and her two brothers were called to the bedside. And they sang the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's My Shepherd." And they prayed. And Christine left the scene of time, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And as that small private family service was going on in that ward, one of the surgeons came in afterwards. He was standing outside. And he said, "You Christians know how to die." I suppose, in a sense, I could sympathise and agree and understand what that man was saying. We Christians do know how to die. We Christians ought not to fear death. The reason that we Christians know how to die, and the reason that we Christians ought to know how to die, it's not because of anything that we have done, but because of what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he died for you and he died for me. And his offer of eternal salvation is open to you this evening, as it was for myself, Colin, Marianne Digby, and many others. But the choice is yours. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we pray this evening that thou wilt continue to speak through thy word. And, O God, we commit every individual that's bowed in thy presence to thee. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt take away sleep, that thou wilt take away comfort. Father, that thou wilt take away ease until each one knows what it is to have made their peace with God and accepted God's offer of mercy. For we ask it in and through thy precious name. Amen.